You'll have to bear with a post-Christians in Sport camp voice. But our reading today is from Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to chapter 2, verse 9. And that can be found on page 801 of the church Bibles or on the service sheet that you hope you got on the way in. So it's Malachi, starting at chapter 1, verse 6, to chapter 2, verse 9. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those who are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you and show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick. And this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart, to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring, and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction.
Jenna, thank you so much for reading. Let me just adjust this. Here we go. Well, good morning again, and a very warm welcome to Grace Church in Greenwich. My name is Johnny, and especially it's good to be here today. We're continuing our series in the book of Malachi. If we're completely new to Grace Church and how we do things here, and what we love to do here is we love to take a book of the Bible and we go through it chunk by chunk and see what God is saying to us in his word. And this is where we're up to today and this week in the book of Malachi. So good to be here. And we have, do keep service sheets open in front of you if you can. We've got the passage here we'll be going through today and a little outline to guide us along our way too. Well, in 2012, our then Prime Minister of the UK, he stood up in Parliament and he said this. And he said that the Church of England needed to get with the programme. And the programme being the shifting culture in the UK. And he said the church needed to change. I'm sure he was sort of saying, keep the churchy stuff, but change what the church teaches. Sort of adjust what it believes. Get with the program, he was saying. Stay relevant, is what he meant. And I guess we might look around the UK and sometimes we might well think, maybe he was right. Many churches have done just that, haven't they? And they've noticed church attendance dropping across the UK. Maybe their job's in jeopardy. And leaders, they change what they teach. One church might decide not to talk about the tricky bits in the Bible, talk about the nice, the palatable bits that our culture enjoys. Another church might say, God has spoken in this old book, but, let's just focus on entertainment. Wow people when they come through the doors. Give the people what they want, they think. And we might be tempted to agree. And we might well think, an updated church, that's surely better than no church, right? The Bible, it's an old book with sort of high standards for God's holiness. Just lower the bar a bit, we might think. Make it a bit easier for people to come through. Because at the end, there's no difference, right? The church is still going, still doing the churchy stuff. The leaders still have their jobs, and we're all happy, aren't we? It makes no difference. And when leaders lower their standards, does it make a difference? Closer to home, imagine perhaps in 10 years' time at Grace Church, a tragedy happens, a leader comes in, this new leader, imagine if they were excellent at preaching, utterly hilarious, every single sermon, sort of minute after minute, everyone's in fits of laughter, and it's awesome, he's the best preacher we've ever seen. But, morally, there are serious question marks about this new leader. Low standards. Would it matter? What would we think about this leader? Would lowering standards at Grace Church, would it make a difference? Well, 2,000 years ago, God's people, the Israelites, the people first reading this book of Malachi, they had sort of come up with an answer to this question. And they had their answer, and they were living out their answer, and their answer was this. Their answer was, no. No. Drop the standards. It will not make a jot of difference. And they are cynical. And maybe we can sympathize. To see where Malachi are in history, I've got my timeline again. I love a good timeline. Here we are. This is where Malachi is in sort of history so far in the Bible. They're in the bottom right corner of that timeline. They've come out of exile where it was the worst. Things are a bit better, but life is tough. The new temple, it's good, but it's not great. The nation as a whole just isn't very excited about following God. So, to keep the temple going, to keep the doors open, why don't we just lower the standards? Make things easier. Keep people coming in through the doors, bums on seats. It makes no difference. Leaders keep their jobs and the temple's going and everyone's happy, they might think. And then God writes the book of Malachi and he says, they're wrong. They are wrong. In fact, lowering God's standards is a tragedy. A tragedy that will end in disaster if they continue. And we're going to see this in two points on our service sheet. We've got two sort of parts of this passage where we're going to go today. And firstly, leaders with low standards, we'll see. They actually despise God's name. And let me read from verse 6. It says this. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts. To you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name. And Malachi, you see, he's calling out the priests here and the leaders of God's people, the teachers at the time, supposed to be teaching good stuff. And actually, what's going on here, this is classic Malachi. What happens is here, God says that you've messed up, but the people, they don't say, yeah, fair enough. Nor do they say, yeah, okay, sorry, God, we'll change our ways. In fact, God says you've messed up, and the people throw their hands up and say, how? What are you talking about, God? What are you saying? A VAR, the visual assistant referee, I guess we might have seen this a little bit with World Cup going on recently. In a football match, this is my understanding, in a football match, a foul happens, the referee calls foul. Foul. The footballer, I guess most footballers, won't say, yes, sorry, ref. They will say, ref, what are you talking about? I didn't touch him. And the referee will say, okay, fine. Let's see the replay. The VAR, the slow motion replay of you punching that guy in the face. And in Malachi, God calls, foul. And Israel says, ref, what are you talking about? And then we get the rest of today's passage. Okay, let me show you the slow motion replay. Here it is. Last week, Israel did this. They said, how, God, how have you loved us? This week, Israel say, how? How have we despised you? How have we hated you? Let's see the replay. Verse 7. By offering polluted food upon my altar, you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. Okay, why is what they're doing a big deal? Well, what Malachi is doing is he's reaching back into the Bible, into the book of Leviticus. We often find this a little bit tricky going to get through, but if you're a priest in the Old Testament, this is your book. Leviticus is the book for priests. And if you're a priest, reading Leviticus, you don't have to get far through to see that God has standards for your holiness. Even, in fact, the third verse of Leviticus, God has standards for his priests, for their offerings, for their gifts. In fact, priests, and they have the joy, the privilege of presenting an animal as a gift to God. How amazing is that? And this animal, well, it would be worth what God is worth. It'd be a special animal, a blameless animal, the crème de la crème, the best one in your flock. This is the gift for God's name that you choose. Except Israel leaders say, no, don't worry about that. It doesn't matter. Just take any animal to offer. Has the animal got a pulse? Fine, bring it in, we'll offer it. Does it have a horrible disease? Three legs, fine, bring it in, it's fine. Has it been run over and found in a ditch, it's been lying there for a week? Yeah, just bring it in, it's fine. God won't mind, makes no difference. Low standards. We're still doing temple-y things, aren't we? The temple's still open, the doors and the people are coming in. We're ticking the boxes, tick. We're doing our prayers, dear Lord, amen. We're making the offering. But low standards. Can't we see God is saying this? God is saying that what you are doing is despising my name. And God's name, that's his reputation, his honor. And you are dragging it through the mud, he says. Think about it. I, in fact, didn't have to come up with an illustration. God has given us an illustration here. He says, imagine, sort of, this is me paraphrasing. Imagine you're inviting people over for dinner. Fantastic. Great thing to do. You decide to sort of dress up and invite someone over a bit classy. Let's say your boss from work or, you know, maybe a teacher or head teacher or whatever, a professor, someone a bit classy to come over. You dress up. Everything's nice. You're all sat down. Candles are lit. And you're tucking into your lovely lamb sort of main course. It's, you know, wonderful and having a great time trying to impress the guest who's come. And at that moment, you decide to stand up. You ting your glass. Ding, ding, ding. And time to make a speech. You say in your speech, well, it's an honor to have you all here today. Wonderful to be here. I actually chose this lamb for our dinner specifically for you. I got the diseased one for you. Actually, Mud Chute Farm, they were giving it away for free. It was in the bin. I just got it out and cooked it. Like, bon appetit. What? Who would do that, God? So who would do that to your boss? He says at the end of, do you spot that at the end of verse 8? Present this to your governor, your boss. Would he accept you or show you favor? Obviously not. And yet their leaders are allowing this, saying it's fine to happen to the Lord of hosts, to God. The Lord of hosts, this name comes up 10 times in this passage. It means the God of angel armies. I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. That's his name. But you despise it when you make these offerings, lowering my standards that I've laid out for you. God minds today that we honor him for who he is. With our lives, our lips, our hands, and our hearts, we honor the Lord of hosts who created the heavens and the earth. And leaders who teach a church, who teach that it's fine to throw God's standards in the bin, so to do something else, to lower them a little bit, it might seem okay, but they despise God's name, dragging his honor through the dirt. And that might be a surprise for us today, because we might well think, well, surely a church with low standards, that's better than no church, right? A church with the doors open and low standards, that's better than a church with the doors locked shut. Well, again, God surprises us, because God says, no. God says, shut it down. Surprising, and verse 10, he says this. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. And what they're doing does not make no difference. In fact, it's so bad, God says, I'd rather you didn't. Stop. Close the doors. God doesn't need them to be honored around the world. That's what we saw in our children's talk, wasn't it? God does have a program. He has a wish that people around the world will honor him, and that will happen. So to think that God needs them, that's incredibly arrogant. He doesn't. God's program is this, and one day his name will be honored everywhere. This is our children's talk, and verse 11, here it is again. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. This isn't sort of a maybe, this isn't a perhaps, possibly, hopefully in the future. One day the whole world will honor God's name. So the reason it makes no sense just to do anything to keep the doors open of a ministry, to keep people coming in, by saying that God doesn't matter how we live and it's fine, is that God doesn't need them. God's plan is going to happen anyway without you. What's at stake here is not whether God will be honored internationally. What's at stake here is whether they want to be involved or not. It's whether they will honor him or drag his name through the mud. This should be a joy. What a joy and a privilege it is to make offerings to the Lord of hosts, they should have thought. But instead, well, maybe you can hear the tone of their voice in verse 13. They say this instead. But you say, what a weariness this is. It's a chore, and you snort at it. Can't do a snort very well, says the Lord of hosts. They hate it. It's a chore. My name will be honored everywhere, so just stop despising it. I don't need you. And so I guess I think about it this way. We thought maybe sort of this awful future in 10 or 20 years, Grace Church gets, sadly, sort of leaders who come in and teach that we can have low standards and it's absolutely fine, no issues. It might be tempting to think, look at us, we've got the theatre. Let's just keep the doors open. It doesn't matter. Keep people coming in. And Greenwich needs us, we might think. Actually, God would rather that we close the doors. If that was the case, if we had leaders with low standards, God would rather we shut the doors, close down Grace Church. Much better, we see throughout the whole Bible, much better to just be faithful and trust that God will take care of the rest. Leaders who lower God's standards, they are actually despising God's name. And Malachi, he drives this home by doing another classic Malachi thing. He actually turns our eyes to a future day, a day where the sun will rise, and it will be obvious that it makes a difference. When leaders lower their standards, does it make a difference? And Malachi says, one day the answer will be obvious, and yes, it will. Leaders with low standards, the second part of today, will be despised. Will be despised. Let me read verse 1 and 2 of the third paragraph there, chapter 2. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Do you see what's happening? It's a complete reversal. A flip has taken place. And what they do to God, God is going to bring back upon them, upon their own heads. And like the priestly blessing, we might know that the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 6, the priests, part of their job was to pronounce a blessing over God's people. You might even know the words. In fact, it was sung to music, and the video sort of went viral on YouTube over lockdown. The words go something like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. It's a blessing that the priests spoke. But even as the priests say this, they are blessing what God curses. They are pronouncing a blessing on what is cursed. And so God flips that back onto them. God says, okay, I will curse your blessings. You bless what is cursed, and I will curse your blessings. It's flipped on its head. It's as if the priests, as they say words of blessing on a curse, they may as well be saying these words as God flips it on its head. The priests may as well be saying this. The Lord curse you and forsake you. The Lord cause his face to turn away from you and be grumpy to you. It's a reversal. The leaders who despise God's name, they themselves will be despised. Exactly the same with polluting. You see this pollution language comes up again in verse 3. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offsprings, and you shall be taken away with it. I bet some of us, well, many of us probably weren't expecting this language in church today, in the Bible. But God is saying, if you pollute God, priests, that comes back to you. God will pollute you by putting poo on your face. It's a big deal, isn't it? Maybe we're used to this sort of language, but it's supposed to make us be shocked and wake up. Wow, okay. Some of you may well know, I guess many of us know, that I'm married to Julia, wonderful wife. She works at the Canada Water Service, and we have a baby who's now become a toddler, a wonderful son, and he is excellent. And as we've become parents, we've had to get used to a few changes, let's say, around the house, different things going on. One of the ways in which our family life has definitely changed is the amount of poo in our house, which does not end up where you might expect it. And I guess we somewhat have got used to it. But in fact, just for today, to sort of bring this home, I've got a specimen for us. Here we are. I've double bagged it just to be extra certain. I might just open it up and see if it sort of wafts around a little bit, so you can get any smell going. Let me know on the first row if you get anything, then I'll seal it up again. I'm used to it a little bit. I've had to get used to it. But I wonder how we would feel if this ended up on our face. Pretty nasty, isn't it? And perhaps surprising that God would even speak in this way. It's shocking, perhaps, to have this in church. And we are right. It's horrible language. God says this to wake us up to the reality of what is going on when leaders lower God's standards and say it doesn't matter and throw them out the window. Leaders who pollute God's name will themselves be polluted. I'm going to put this away now. There we go. All safe. Do you see what's happening? It's a reversal. Those who despise God's name, they themselves are being despised. And this is a warning for us today. How awful it would be. How awful would it be, Grace Church, if our pastors despised God's name, threw his standards in the bin, and they would not get away with it. No way. Even if it looked good idea for now, a day is coming, Malachi said, the sun will rise and they will be despised. Instead, what actually happens here is that once again, God reminds us of a better way. He has a promise here for the future, a future that is coming. Here's a future for his priests. Let me show us from 4 to 6. This is the standard of priests that he expects. Verse 4. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him is one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was found in his mouth, and no wrong was found in his lips. And God made a promise with Levi's family, the priest. We actually have a little family tree. I love a good family tree. Here we are, bottom right corner. Levi, the family of priests, goes down to Phinehas in Numbers 25. He is an awesome priest. I'm zealous, and he teaches true teachings. Wonderful priest. And God promises with him covenants. There'll be a priest, a good priest, forever in God's plan. And that is sorted. That is not in question. God has secured priests, good priests, forever and ever. So whether or not God will have priests, that is not at stake. We don't need priests with low standards just to, you know, keep God's thing going on, just to keep the temple-y and churchy stuff going. No, God doesn't need us. He doesn't need rubbish priests, not for a second. What is at stake is whether they want to be a part of God's future of good priests. And now, where are we now? 500 years after Malachi, 2,500 years after Malachi. Wonderfully, good leaders are here. Obviously, are modeled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a priest forever, we've been seeing in our Hebrews grace groups. True instruction is found in his mouth. The word instructions and the words are underlined here in our passage because it just comes up so often. And our pastors, and we all, a little bit, to an extent, we are like this too. True teaching is in our mouth. We speak the truth about God to each other. Loving and relishing the joy that it is to know God and to worship him and to serve him and to know his blessing as a church. To live under God's good design as he's given us in his word. So it's clear we want to make a distinction, don't we? We are not exactly like the Israelites in Malachi's day. And they have turned away and decided it makes no difference. But as we listen into words to them, we'd do well to remember not to become like them. On a future day, it will be blindingly obvious. Keeping God's standards makes a difference. And they, Old Testament Israel, needed to change their minds. Perhaps we do too. Perhaps sometimes, and perhaps when we hear our Prime Minister's words from 2012, saying the church needs to update, needs to get with the times, get with the program, people, change the standards. We might think, oh yeah, maybe he's got a point. Let's, just try and keep the doors open. Lower standards and whatever. God says no. There is a better way. And bless what I bless. Anything else would be tragic. And leaders of low standards despise God's name and will be despised. And instead, as Grace Church, we have this joy, this immense privilege of offering our praise and obedience to God and the Lord of hosts. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, part of his plans for his honor to spread across the whole world. What a joy and a privilege that is. We are just faithful. We trust that God will take care of the rest. We're going to have a time of quiet now before we let him press.